You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, let me quickly tell you about my friends at etaxbreaks.com. etaxbreaks.com. Pretty cool job they have, just telling people they found some money for them. That's what they do every single day of the week. They find you money, money you didn't know you qualified for because of the common sense way you run your business, like where you chose to geographically locate your business or who you hired, or did you fight to keep your business open during the pandemic? Did you survive a natural disaster? All of these kinds of things and more may qualify you for money you didn't know you qualified for. And that's what they do. They comb the over 3,000 programs around the nation to see whether it fits you. And if it does, they claim the credits for you, the tax credits, the tax incentives, the grants, all those things, and bring them in. And they only get paid if they find you money. And they love it. They just stroke a check to people. Hey, we found you some money. It's coming your way. And that is very cool. So check them out. There's no harm, no foul here. Etaxbreaks.com is the company. They have a special page for our Right Side listeners. Etaxbreaks.com/right side. etaxbreaks.com/right side. Hey, I'll go to the phones here real quick. I got a line five, Chris from Huntsville. Hey, Chris, Phil Williams on Right Side. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, Phil, thanks for having me on, man. This is my seventh time calling in. This is the third I got. I spoke to you a couple months ago. What's going on?
Good deal. Good to hear from you.
So I was listening to you and your friend talk earlier, the JAG officer, and I was wondering about the mission readiness, you know, units being deployed. And I was wondering, if you test everybody in the unit and nobody's got COVID and they go overseas, where did they get COVID from?
Well, and it's a great point. I mean, I guess it could still be in the incubation period, but you're right. And Chris, I mean, you're bringing up another point that reminds me. So we force the vaccines on everybody. I get it. They give you a shot so you can deploy. But we're finding out right now that having the vaccination is not a cure or a complete preventative. Nope. You can still get COVID even after you've been vaccinated. So, I mean, it just makes it makes it easier to deal with, apparently, but it does not mean that you're not going to get it. So,
it basically just gives everybody peace of mind. It's a good example with the NFL, with Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger, or actually anybody else that's been getting COVID. Aaron Rodgers gets steamrolled by the media, by everybody, because he's not vaccinated or he lied about being immunized or whatnot. But then the next week, Ben Roethlisberger gets COVID, but he's got the vaccination and nobody really says anything about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, right now, too, in the Biden White House, Jen Psaki, the press secretary, she's been out with COVID even though she was vaccinated. And it's probably working in one of the most, vaccine-secure facilities in the entire world right now. But, hey, Chris, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate your time. Yeah, go ahead.
Clown world, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right, Chris, you have a great day. That's Chris from Huntsville. Hey, listen, so let me run through a few more of these, all right? I want to make sure you know that there's a number. And by the way, Chris brought up a point about unit readiness. Let me speak to that for a minute. Unit readiness. So when you hear the governor of Oklahoma and his adjutant general say right now they would run the risk of losing 10% of their force, that's a big, hairy deal. Think about it. You voluntarily gave away 10% of your force. I would be fighting to keep it too. I would absolutely be fighting to keep it. That 10% means something, but then break it down to the unit level. What happens if that 10% is concentrated in certain areas? Let's say, for instance, in the Alabama National Guard. Right now, one of the most prolific, successful air refueling wings is in Alabama's Air National Guard. They are the ones who can do in-flight refueling. KC-135 tankers are based out of Birmingham. All right? So what happens if a large number of the people that don't want the vaccine are the pilots in the air refueling wing down in Birmingham? Well, that unit is not just down some people. That unit loses actual readiness. So depending upon where they are, it can be even worse. It's kind of like we talked about this Navy SEAL lawsuit right now. Well, you look at it and go, well, it's not a ton of them. I mean, there's only 2,500 SEALs at any given time, period, in some form of active service. And if you're going to degrade them to the extent that you're going to knock down an entire SEAL platoon, total of men, well, then that's a readiness issue. What happens if in the Alabama National Guard, let's say there's a transportation unit, and this transportation unit is needed in the next hurricane to be able to transport supplies for relief, but that transportation unit took a bigger hit. And I'm just saying, it becomes a unit-level readiness issue, and if you're not careful, this whole, don't worry, we're not losing a big number of the fours, it's only a small percentage, it depends on where they are. Because if it's all the pilots or half the pilots, if it's just half the pilots, that decimates a unit's ability to get something done. Hey, this is a hot topic, and we are a military community largely, so I'll go ahead and take another call real quick before I go on to my other stuff here. I got Brian from Huntsville on line one. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams here on Right Side. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey, Brian, Phil Williams from Right Side. What's on your mind, man? How you doing today?
Mighty fine, and I hope you are as well. But as far as the 10% goes, losing that out of the National Guard, I just find it amazing that people misuse the term decimated nowadays, because decimated means you lose 1 in 10. It doesn't mean annihilated or anything along those lines.
That's a great point.
You lose 1 out of 10, and they would actually truly be decimated if they lost 1 out of 10.
That is a great historical factoid. Yes. Good call, Brian. Thanks for that. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, and dealing with technology. So, folks, by the way, I apologize. A few minutes ago, we had a jump to break because, just like happens once in a while, the connection just went down. And no explanations, it just does. And so when it happens, we just quickly cut to break. And so my apologies to Brian from Huntsville. You were calling in and giving us a quick both historical and English language on the word decimation, and you were right. But, brother, I got cut off right in the middle of talking to you, so my apologies for that. Hey, listen, let me wrap this up and go to the next topic here in a few minutes. All right, so there's a lot of stuff going on right now with regards to military and first responders. You heard about the Oklahoma National Guard. And it's interesting. I'm looking at a story right now, Military Times. I referenced it briefly with my friend Brian Taylor on the line earlier. And the Pentagon is saying, no, National Guard, we believe we control the situation here. And they're saying that the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, intends to view the vaccine mandate as a lawful order that the National Guard does have to comply with, whether they like it or not. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But again, Oklahoma is saying it's poised right now to lose 10% of its force, and that is a problem. Here's another one, though. Let's talk about first responders. So first responders are also taking a hit. What happens to your community when large numbers of first responders, and let's say it's just 10%. Let's say you have a city with 100 firefighters, but you lose 10 of them. Well, that's an immediate need to reshuffle. That affects turnout. That affects the ability to respond. That because it's not like you don't already have other natural attrition and sick days and people on holidays, and staffing becomes a function. And then you break it down to individual firehouses. What happens then? What happens if there's, 15 guys at one firehouse, but four of them drop out on the same day because of a vaccine mandate? That's an immediate shuffle. That's something that they have to deal with. That's something that impacts the community. I mean, just here's a story right now. I pulled this off of local news in Denver, Colorado, channel KDVR. And they're literally saying right here that just a week or so ago, nearly 36 of Denver's first responders lost their jobs. 36 in one whack lost their jobs. And it comes, on the heels of 27 public safety personnel who resigned or retired. So you've got ambulance, fire, and police all being impacted by this. The department in Denver said they issued 55 contemplations of discipline letters for noncompliance. I'm just saying, folks, it's all across the board. Here's another one. This one came out of New York City. New York City. Yes, New York City. New York City here. This one is about 2 weeks old, but a story that I had not seen, at least I don't recall this one. I heard one about the fire department of New York, the FDNY, but CNN reporting that 2,300 New York City firefighters called in sick in one day as a vaccine mandate protest. That's now, they've got a huge force there, but that's just the firefighters. 2,300 firefighters. Now, they will have upwards of 800 or so call in sick on any given day because the force is so large. But when you have 2,300 of them in one day, that's big doings. And, you know, it took, I want to say, where is it right here in the article? There are 18 fire units out of service out of 350. So there's 350 fire units, 18 of them went out of service on that day. Bam, just could not staff them. And that is a big deal for public safety, for first responders. It's something we have to watch. Back to the military again. Here's a story off of Fox. Looking at it right now. Michigan Army veteran Tom Barrett blasts the Biden collapse of leadership and launches his own bid for Congress. So a guy who literally has been serving for over 20 years, he's a helicopter pilot. Takes a lot to get a guy to the point that he's a rated helicopter pilot. And here's a helicopter pilot in the Michigan National Guard who's been serving in their state Senate, who is saying, I'm done. I'm not going to be a part of this. And by the way, I want to go to D.C. and try to fix it. So Michigan State Senator Tom Barrett, an Army veteran, announced Monday he will be taking on Representative Elissa Slotkin, who's a Democrat of Michigan. And so he's going to run as a Republican, as a veteran, and as somebody who believes that the vaccine mandate is destroying readiness in our military. There's that. And then just looking down the line, what else do I have here that I can still get to? I talked with Brian Taylor earlier about whether we're going to see a push towards dishonorable discharges. I hope not. I will say this. Brian's a JAG officer, and I defer to his knowledge of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, certainly. But I am seeing a trend right now in being punitive in the Biden administration, and we also know that the Biden administration opposes legislation that would prevent them from being able to exert a dishonorable discharge. Well, U.S. Representative Mark Green, Republican of Tennessee, who is himself a veteran and a member of the House Armed Services Committee, I'm reading from the Daily Herald, which I believe is from Chattanooga, is the sponsor of legislation that would prevent the Department of Defense from being allowed to press forward on any potential dishonorable discharges solely related to vaccine mandates being resisted. His quote is, if you're going to force it on a soldier, they ought to have a right to say no, and if they're removed from the force for that reason, it should be an honorable discharge. If they have honorable service, if they've done tours in combat, there's no reason to dishonorably discharge those individuals. So I wrote this bill to make sure the military would not do something stupid like that. There you go. And the bill has already passed the House and is now in the U.S. Senate for review. And to my knowledge, it has not come up yet, but I will let you know if I hear later that it has. And then the last thing I've got here, military veterans were recently interviewed, and some were saying what I understand. Some were saying things like, look, man, when you sign up, you sign up. But a story on WBRC out of Birmingham, they interviewed retirees. Active component would not address it. A number of current officers who were still serving and were in downtown Birmingham for the recent Veterans Parade declined to comment. Well, I understand that. However, it also indicates to me that they're frustrated and they know they can't talk about it because they don't have, if they were not supporting the command position and just saying, I don't want to comment on that, it might indicate that they're not happy. Some retirees were saying, which supports the story for WBRC, hey man, when you get in the military, you sign up. I got a retired general and a retired sergeant major, both on the record here in this WBRC article saying, when you enlist, you get all kinds of shots. This is just part of the job. I don't know that I agree with that fully. I think there's a little bit of a difference here when you put it together like this. Copper, I don't think we're going to get to our caller there before the break. So ask him if he can hold on during the break, and I'll be glad to take his call as soon as we get back. But I would be doing him a disservice trying to jump on the phone with him in the last 30 seconds. So let's do this, folks. We're going to be heading into a break here in just a minute. Well, just a few seconds. When we get back from that, I'm going to switch subjects and see if I can get down the road a little bit on this third part of the Triple Dipper for the day and just talk about some foreign policy. Wow, it's a mess. Wow. Foreign policy. How are we viewed on the world stage? Well, it got a little worse today with President Biden and Chairman Xi. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.